This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, hour number three, third hour. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, rolling along toward the draft here. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully. And mortgage confidently here. So it's Tiki and Tierney. As tomorrow's big draft day, Friday we'll have Dak Prescott on for the Dallas Cowboys, which will be nice.
Yeah, lots going on with the Cowboys.
How
do they replace Dez Bryant?
Want me to be honest? I don't think it's going to be that hard.
I don't either.
If you actually look at production,
I know.
The last 3 years he's done nothing.
But you got to ask.
That hard? Just draft a receiver. You probably get somebody as good.
But you got to ask him the question. If he misses him, I don't think he's missing him.
Oh, well, definitely. You mean, well, of course we're going to ask Dak.
I don't think
that.
He's missing him, though.
I'm going to ask Dak if he was the one to kind of facilitate that.
Maybe.
That ouster. Because there is some rumbling.
I
do, too. But there's been some innuendo on the trail that
I bet it was more like
Dak wanted him out.
He was asked.
I'll ask him.
Are you going to be upset if Dez is not here?
Yeah.
And he was like,
I didn't know what to say.
No.
I don't know why you would miss Dez Bryant. Let's not derail the show here with Dez Bryant. But listen, one thing about Dez, he did say that he's going to wait until after the draft to sign, which makes all the sense in the world. I wish Dallas would have given him a little more time to find a viable landing spot by doing this earlier, but whatever.
But I think this was they were trying to work something out and it didn't happen. I've just been told from people who know that there was one team that was interested, and Dak and Dez was not interested in that team.
Talking about a trade?
No.
Oh.
To go to post-release.
Interesting. Do you know who that team was?
Yeah.
Oh, Ravens. You do? Oh, the Ravens. Okay. Yeah, no, I thought there was something that I didn't know.
And Dez didn't want to go.
And then the Ravens acted on their move, and they got their receivers, so that closes the door there.
That's why they acted on them. That's why they had to do that.
I don't know if I'd want to go to Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore's got a great culture.
Interesting spot, man.
For a receiver, I don't know if I'd love to go there. Yeah,
It's interesting because they want you, but not so much because what's actually going to happen to you there?
There's a lot of things about the Ravens that get on the proper side of the checklist here. GM, head coach, fan base.
Well, Oz is retiring, though. I mean,
of
course.
But, that could change things. He's been there a long time, Ozzie Newsome. Mm-hmm. Wow, he's been doing this. I mean, we were kids. He was playing.
You're right.
I mean, he's playing. All right. So, speaking of playing, we'll get some good action tonight. Now, tonight we got a bunch of games. We have four games tonight?
Four games.
And we do have the four games.
Yep.
That's right.
Four, two closeouts and two that are tied at two.
I'm going to give you one prediction here.
Mm-hmm.
I did pick the Utah Jazz to win the series.
Yep, close out.
No, I'm not backing off that.
I am.
Westbrook goes for 50 tonight.
What?
Westbrook goes bonkers at home, 50.
How many shots is it going to take him to get to 50?
He'll be relatively efficient.
70?
No. He'll probably put up 17 or 18, but he'll get to the stripe a lot, and he'll tack on there. He's going to get 50 points tonight.
Okay,
Westbrook,
okay.
50. And they win. And then the Jazz close him out as it goes 2-2, 1-1-1. Mm. That's one prediction.
Okay. Houston closes them out.
Yeah.
I
tried to, and I believed that it wasn't manufactured.
Yeah.
I'd like to garner some more, positivity here for the T-Wolves at this point. I just can't do it. They played one good game.
Look, and they played a good, quarter in game four.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, they said, we're not going to play defense this quarter. Let them score 50.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I just don't. I think that's more of the norm in this matchup. So I think Houston closes it out, and they do it pretty convincingly.
But the real story here, well, there's two. I mean, the Wizards-Raptors, that's the B-plus affair, with all due respect to them.
Mm-hmm.
The big one here is in Cleveland tonight, 7 Eastern, so 2 hours from now. It's a huge swing game. Cavaliers winning on the road last game, a game that you and I both think the Pacers will forever lament. And how about this cut? I wanted to play this for you. Tyronn Lue talking about some adversity and how they maybe needed to go through a couple of things that will benefit them in the long run. Here's the head coach of the Cavs.
I think it's good for us. I think, playing this team, they're a physical team. They get up and pressure in the backcourt. They make it tough on you offensively. It's just not easy. So I think it's good for us, in this first round to have a good competitive challenge, and they're a good team. So we just got to be up and ready to go for tomorrow.
Wow, it's like he's dismissing.
I was just going to say the same thing. It's like, let's not put yourself in the finals yet there, buddy. Let's get through tonight. Make sure you win. Let's get the next one.
Yeah, it's good for us, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to move through anyways. Okay, what happens if you don't?
That's like something Steve Kerr would say last year in the first round.
Yes.
With a healthy everybody.
Yes, if they had lost the game. If they had lost a game.
Get us prepared for the rigors of what awaits.
Look, they've won two, obviously, the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they haven't by any means convincingly won anything in this postseason. Question, I mean, do you think Ty Lue is a good tactician, an X's and O's guy?
I think he's okay. I think there's probably 20 better in the NBA.
Yeah. And
I think he's more about a good feel of the locker room and having been a former player.
And that's important.
That's huge. In the NBA, it's paramount.
It's huge. You get
tactician?
And so when I look at this matchup, because I can't decide who has the better talent. You know what I mean? I want to say it's the Cavaliers.
You want to do the test? You want to do the old BT test?
Yeah, we should.
Let's do it.
Write it down.
Why don't you explain what the test is here?
So the BT test is you take the five best players out of both teams.
Yep.
So LeBron and Kevin Love.
We'll do that. Explain the premise first.
So you take the five best players out of the entire series.
Uh-huh.
Whoever has more out of the five,
it's
doesn't matter the
series.
Order, is going to win the series.
This equation's never – it's been tested a few times. It's never failed. And I do this for a series that I'm not sure who's going to win.
Yeah.
Now,
are you at that point where you're not sure?
I'm a little confused now. I picked the Cavaliers in six.
Yeah.
I knew the Pacers would win. And this is on my timeline from 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the Pacers would win a few.
Yeah.
Because they lost that last game.
Because the Pacers lost the last game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because Clarkson had 12 points and because other guys that hadn't really had much of a role or their fingerprints on the series because they got involved.
And I hear you.
I actually think the Cavaliers will win the series. If they lose tonight, I would actually be stunned. Mm. I would be stunned. But let's do the test anyway, right?
I am not as confident, but let's do the test.
Really?
Yeah, I just not.
Okay.
Not. I just don't know. And it goes
Pacers,
back to the question.
But yet you didn't give the Pacers a chance coming in. It's interesting.
I know because I did. I assumed that. Not that I assumed that what Ty Lue said, oh, we're going to turn on our defense and it's going to work, you know, just because we say it's going to work. No, they're not going to. They're who they are.
Yeah.
You're not going to change that. It's the habit that they created all season long, and that's not going to change. But it's more on the offensive side. Defense, I was less worried about for the Cavaliers. Is can they score just enough points to outscore teams like the Indiana Pacers? And for the most part, my belief was, yeah. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
Because of the question that I ask you about whether or not you think Ty Lue is a good tactician. And I just don't. I don't think he utilizes his players the right way. So let's do this exercise.
Okay.
So
LeBron 1, Oladipo 2, Kevin Love 3. That's how I see it right away.
Yes.
I mean, you might want to say, well, out of respect, Kevin Love 2.
Mm-hmm.
It almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, the order is somewhat irrelevant. Somewhat, at least for this exercise. I don't think it really matters. I'm going to put Love 3.
Now the question is, do you find a second from the Indiana Pacers? You know what I mean?
Well, the way Bogdanovich has been playing, I mean, he's going to make my list.
Okay,
four or five.
Okay,
that's the only debatable thing.
This list, it doesn't matter.
We'll put Boggy, we'll put him four.
We'll put him four. Now, the question is, do you take J.R. Smith, Miles Turner? Do you take...
J.R. Smith is too much of a wild card to earn that.
So he's not...
As is Stevenson, he's too much of a wild card.
He doesn't make the list.
No. I'm thinking about Miles Turner.
So it's clearly Miles Turner from the Indiana Pacers.
I'd say a healthy George Hill. If George Hill was fully healthy...
Yeah, I agree, but I just don't trust what he's been doing.
But his propensity to hit threes, 40% during the season.
Yeah, but...
It's been around 9 years. This is no accident. He's a playoff guy.
True.
You know what?
Okay.
I'm going to say Hill.
Hill?
George Hill, you're underestimating his career.
He's
pretty good.
I'm not talking about his career.
I'm talking about right now.
Because Bogdanovich isn't based on his career.
But that's true, too. That's a good point.
On this list. I'm talking about right now.
That's fair.
So right now,
who are we slighting here? Go ahead. Anybody?
The only one that you'd slight because he's not on this list is Miles Turner because he's been playing so well.
J.R. or Miles Turner?
I mean, and from the Cavaliers, there really isn't another... Kyle Korver at the end of the game?
I'll tell you what, Teak, when they made this trade, I thought Rodney Hood would have been on this list.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And
I would have thought Rodney Hood would have made this list, but he hasn't earned it yet. I'm going to say George Hill, which is, I picked Pacers in six. It's 3-2, competitive series that actually plays out based on the mechanics of my theory.
If you look PER-wise,
not the
PER matters, George Hill, PER of 12.
Talking about for the season?
For the season.
Is it 12?
12.
You sure?
Actually technically 13-3 overall, but 12 with the Cavs, 14 before he got traded.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still adjusting.
So 13-3.
but 12 with
Miles Turner, who has not adjusted at all? 17.
Yeah. No, I like Miles Turner.
I do too.
I do.
So you might.
I do.
You might be selling Miles Turner a little bit short.
Admittedly, he's definitely a foundation piece for them. Listen, you can spit all the numbers you want. J.R. Smith, what's his PR?
8.5, dude.
It's 8?
8.5.
He can score 35 tonight. He can hit 7 or 8 threes. I mean, you just don't know. I've got to go. This is a tough one, admittedly.
That's why the series. I mean, the test isn't holding up.
George
for the
Hill's
first
made
time.
A lot of big shots. Yes. And he's played on winners, and I'm going to. So you can challenge that.
Yeah.
You could challenge that.
Yeah.
I got you.
So the point that I made initially, and it led to this discussion, which was a good one, because it proves what we've been saying, is that I have no idea what's happening in this series other than to watch it and react to it. And the one way you gain an advantage is by coaching at this point, right? Mm-hmm. And you had a tight series against two evenly or, playing evenly matched teams. And sometimes the X's and O's determines the winner. Now, Kevin Love is one of those guys who should be playing, scoring better. I'm not saying he's not playing well, because he is playing well. He's doing what he's asked to do, right? Hang around the edges, make some shots when you're open, and rebound, which he's been doing. He's been rebounding at a great clip. But I wonder if there's a method, a way to create that extra score for the Cavaliers that Ty Lue just hasn't been doing. And
that's a very...
And it's going to become important, because one of these days, or one of these games, there's three left now, one of these games, LeBron's just not going to be LeBron. Whether it's because he's
sure
tired.
About that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, maybe. But if that should happen, do you trust Ty Lue to figure out a way to get these other guys scoring?
Do I trust Ty Lue to push a button that has not been pressed in a while or ever?
Yeah, the answer is no, right?
No, the answer is no.
Yeah.
I don't trust him like that. He hasn't earned it.
Yeah.
You
almost have to favor the series in the Indiana Pacers.
Yet I'm still going to stick with my prediction.
Yeah, and I predicted the Pacers after a couple of these games. I'm going to say the Pacers.
Now you're going to say the Pacers are going to win the series?
Yeah.
You can't say that.
We'll see. I mean, you'll know after tonight. You think whoever wins this game tonight wins the series?
No, because I think if the Pacers won tonight,
and
again, I'd be a little surprised, not stunned, I'd be mildly surprised if they do. If the Pacers win tonight, I would still give the Cavaliers a chance to win game 6 on the road, come back, and LeBron ball out and take game 7. Mm-hmm. Whereas if the Cavaliers win tonight, I do think they win the series.
Yeah.
That's the respect I have for LeBron. He's earned that. That is prediction.
So this game. So if we would have positioned this as who has the most pressure tonight, it's LeBron and the Cavaliers. They have to win this game tonight.
Well, I mean, there's different kind of pressure. I don't want to branch into a different avenue. There's pressure that directly relates to the series, and then there's...
Now forget the wider pressure. I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, because the pressure...
If LeBron
loses tonight... Outside, if you're not talking about the draft tomorrow, which we will, the other conversation is what the hell happened to the Cavs.
Yeah.
So that's a different energy.
I'm just talking about
purely basketball.
Purely basketball to get to the second round.
Yeah.
The Cavs have to win this game. Because if I think they lose.
I don't think so. If they lose and they're down
2-3,
I'd run to the ATM and take out money and bet it, but they can come back from 3-2 on the Pacers. They could.
Okay.
You don't think so?
No.
All right.
I don't.
We'll see.
I've lost confidence.
We shall see. Yes, Michael. You guys are quiet today. What's going on, D-Cell?
I'm having a good day.
Well, except when you couldn't find the drop, the thing that we asked you to find.
We'll blame that on the computer.
Wouldn't classify that as a good day. The only thing, you're 0-for-1. How is that a good day? Haven't gotten a hit yet. Not a good day. We asked you to do one thing. You didn't do it.
He had a couple base on balls.
What's so good about
his all-base percentage is rocking.
Yeah, we love D-Cell.
What you're saying is they got a ton of addition by subtraction.
I'm saying they got a lot of addition by addition, which is then exponentially more addition when you factor in the subtraction.
Made sense.
Yeah.
I knew it made sense.
Yeah.
You can try to clown me all you want. That made sense, and you know it made sense. Consensus, did that make sense? Yes or no? Don't ask Santa. He's a weasel today.
It actually does make sense.
Thank you.
You have to listen to the whole thing. It makes sense.
Thank you.
No chance.
Okay. Daniel Jeremiah is going to join us coming up next here from the NFL Network, their reporter. Any behind-the-scenes seeds being planted for possible trades or any industry scuttle? We'll find out what's happening with him coming up next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
It's like when you're on the field. You figure out what you want to accomplish and formulate a plan of action. But you don't put that plan into play until the time is right. If you know what you're doing, it's like you've achieved your goal before the play even starts. You can do the same thing with O'Reilly Auto Parts. When you need a part, but you're not in the right position to go pick it up, you can just order the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Then pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when the time is right. No shipping costs, returns are always easy, and you can pick them up when it's convenient for you. It's the smart play. Getting what you want when you shop for auto parts has never been this easy, and there's no guesswork. You know the exact part you want will be waiting for you when you walk in the door. If you have any questions, the pros at O'Reilly are always ready to help. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices. Every day.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Speaking of CBS Sports Network, just a heads up tonight, Primetime Tops, looking forward to this, going to scoot over from our radio studio and go and have a three-hour draft show tonight with the crew, the usual crew, myself and Adam Schein, Amy Trask, and Big Dog Fletch, Spice Adams is there. Evan Washburn's stationed out in Big D, so obviously a lot of moving parts. 8 to 11 right here on this network. Looking forward to it and getting to have a little fun with the crew out there. Speaking of being in Dallas, that's where Daniel Jeremiah is, NFL Network analyst. You follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks and the NFL Network all over it. Of course, the 2018 draft from Dallas Thursday to Saturday. Fox will air NFL Network's coverage of rounds 1 through 3. And Daniel is juggling quite a bit, so we appreciate him carving out some time. Daniel, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Hey, I apologize in advance, by the way. If you hear a noise in the background, it's Joel Klatt sitting next to me. He's doing a real loud radio interview. So if you hear that, I apologize.
I know all about being loud. Trust me, Daniel, when we're at Radio Row, everybody just stares at me. I'm so loud. I get it. Appreciate the heads up. Don't worry about it. If he gets too loud, just give him a little little hip check here and tell him you got more important things to do.
I got sharp elbows, man.
good. All right, so are you buying that that the Browns truly have settled between Darnold and Mayfield? Is Mayfield as viable as the reports in the last day or so for the Browns at one?
I think we're just kind of based off what you're hearing, and some smart people have put their name on it, so I would think it's probably legitimate. I just don't know firsthand if John Dorsey has officially told people. I mean, is it something that he's, look at the draft board and we can talk about it, but the final decision is not made off of what a draft board might look like there. It's what he knows, and he knows only at this point in time. So until I hear it from John Dorsey's mouth, then I'm still guessing like everybody else.
You know, Daniel, do you think that whoever this quarterback is selected by the Cleveland Browns, whether they do it at one or four, or even if they surprise us all and pick one later in the draft, that there will be an immediacy for this guy to come in and start playing? Or is this the reason that they brought in Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, I don't think. I really don't think you'll see whoever they draft on the field in the first portion of the season, at least. I mean, I would think the plan is you doesn't have to play him at all the whole year. Maybe it's a situation where you get 7-8 weeks in and you feel like he's ready and you want to do it. But I think they brought in Tyrod Taylor, somebody that can protect the football, something they were atrocious at last year. And a little bit of that veteran presence would be a good thing for a team that's won one game in the last 2 years.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do, although they had a pretty good offseason, and they've got a small army of draft picks to continue to get the roster going. It's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. He's out there in Dallas. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Daniel, we heard yesterday that Andrew Luck is still not throwing the ball and will not throw in this offseason program that's starting this week. Do you think – I mean, obviously it was strategic in some way – do you think the Colts, one, are lamenting moving out of that draft, their draft position? And two, is there a chance that they're going to take a quarterback this year?
I don't think so. I don't think they'll take one early. You know, Jacoby Brissett, when you talk to teams around the league, he's actually pretty well thought of. So I think they feel like even if Andrew's not ready to go, they have an acceptable option. And that roster is awful. So they have so many holes they need to fill. I think that's why you saw them trade out. And to be quite honest with you, they might not be done. I mean, they could trade down again. If you look at a team like maybe Buffalo coming up to that sixth spot and try and get an army of picks, and included in that, maybe a pick next year. And if you look at a team like Buffalo, that could end up being a high pick next year. I think you see them take a little bit of a step back. So I think the Colts you know, maybe they're going to wait on that, give Andrew another year. If next year at this time it's still unsettled, then I think that would be the time you see them try and get another one.
I mean, do you really think that if Andrew Luck doesn't play this year also, or he's highly compromised this year, that his career has any chance of – it's 2 years, man. You just don't see this really from any position, particularly a quarterback. Can he even get his career back on track if he misses another year?
You know, it would scare the tar out of me, and it's not just it's not just the fact that he's missed the games, Tiki. It's the fact that it's his throwing shoulder.
I know.
You know, it's not like he's had a bad ankle, and you say, okay, once that gets right, even if he doesn't move around as well, we can get by. It's his throwing shoulder. Mm. So that would scare me.
Daniel, I'm curious. There's so many prospects, the quarterbacks, back to them for a second, that are prominently featured in this draft. Without getting into specifics, how would you categorize, because I ask you this because it very well might shape what a few teams do, maybe the Giants, maybe the Cardinals at 15. Is next year's draft class thought to be very good, exceptional, average? How would you categorize next year?
I would say just based off very early returns, and I haven't done much work on these guys at all, but just, you know, talking to some people that have done some homework there, that it looks like kind of just an okay group. You know, this class was one last year at this time we were all buzzing about and excited because we knew who these guys were, their name brands, and as we always do, we pick them all apart for the last year. So it may be in some ways the anonymity of next year's class will help them because we won't spend the whole fall analyzing and picking apart each guy on a week-by-week basis.
No, we'll just do that during the winter.
Yeah, we'll wait. We'll kick that season off a little later.
Yeah, and we'll make up for lost time, as we always do, I'm sure. Daniel Jeremiah is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Listen, Tiki and I just fundamentally disagree on what his Giants should do with two. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, if I'm Jerry Reese and I'm still the GM and I'm on a short leash here and I might get fired if I don't turn things around, then I'm taking Saquon Barkley. I need a pop. I got to change things immediately. The narrative's got to shift. If I'm Gettleman, who's got all sorts of time and all sorts of equity with the Giants from his previous stint there, I could take a longer, broader view approach here, which is what I would do. If Sam Darnold drops to them at two, all right, or teams want to trade, and I don't mean trade to the 23rd slot, but, you know, Dolphins or Bills, 11, 12, even maybe the Cardinals at 15, why would the Giants not be open to that? I just don't get that thought process.
Yeah, I think you hit it, though. It's either a short-term vision or a long-term vision, and that's normally why you have the separation of powers in an organization, because the coaching staff is always concerned about the short-term and staying employed. Where from a personnel department standpoint, you got to look and cast the longer vision of your franchise. And trust me, I've been a part of organizations that were looking for that quarterback. You don't want to waste, you know, 8 to 10 years trying to find that next guy. If you have conviction that the quarterback that happens to be there when you're on the clock at two can be your quarterback for a decade plus, you truthfully, you owe it to the franchise to take him if you have that conviction in the room, because it's the right long-term decision.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. That's Daniel Jeremiah with us here, NFL Network analyst, Tiki and Tierney. He's out in Dallas, CBS Sports Radio.
You got some stars in the New York Giants, and you got short windows with those guys. I'm just saying, think about winning now.
See how we go back and forth
yeah,
on this?
Yeah, exactly. Daniel, the Denver Broncos are very interesting as well here. They probably are going to take a quarterback, but you hear some of their guys saying, hey, we don't want to wait, you know, 3 or 4 years to try to win another championship. We want to do this now. What do you think the Broncos do sitting at number five?
I don't think they'll take a quarterback. I really think that they will pick a position player, or they are a prime candidate to get out with Buffalo potentially coming up.
Yeah.
That makes sense for them there. And I think, you know, just personally, I think where that defensive roster is set up right now, it's still pretty darn good. It's not the level it was before. I think their offensive line's a little bit better. If they can get stable quarterback play from Case Keenum, I think they could turn around pretty quick. So I think there is a chance that that they just either sit there and take a position player, and I think probably more likely they get out of there.
You know, I wanted to ask you this, Daniel, because we focus on the quarterbacks, and we know the primary defensive names. We just had Derwin James on the show before. Everybody knows Micah Fitzpatrick, obviously, from Alabama.
Chubb.
Chubb, of course, who we had on the show yesterday as well. Can we name drop a little bit more? Yeah, anybody else? We got Dak Prescott
three good,
Friday.
Three good ones.
It was a good week so far. but Marcus Davenport's a name from Texas San Antonio. Harold Landry, even from Boston College. And the kid that's interesting, because he's so young, is the linebacker from Vatek, Tremaine Edmonds. All first-round talents for sure. Of the three, do you have a preference? I know they don't all play the same position, but are they all frontline stars, or do you have any reservations on any of the three?
Well, I mean, if you told me I was getting Harold Landry from 2016, the healthy version that had 16 plus sacks, I'm cool with him and I'm fine there. This year he was injured, didn't play as well. But the other two, to me, I think Tremaine Edmonds is going to be a stud. I mean, he's 19 years old. He's got rare size, sideline to sideline range that he has, and with all the RPOs and the quick passing game now, to have a linebacker with that type of length. An off-the-ball linebacker is so rare. I think he's got tremendous value. And then Davenport is raw. But, man, you saw when everything lines up for him, like you saw in the Senior Bowl game where he was wreaking havoc, there's a lot to like there. And when I look at pass rush,
this is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, and he's got a good motor is what you're saying.
No question.
Okay. That's good. It's a good check. Daniel, appreciate you, buddy. Have a crazy couple of days and keep doing your thing.
All right, hold on. All right, we're good. All right, thanks, guys.
I got you. A little elbow to the neck. There you go. Nicely done. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. He's out there in Dallas. Good stuff. Those are three names you don't hear as much. No. I mean, University of Texas, San Antonio, I don't know. I mean, I believe their colors are blue and orange, I think. Like those.
Would be pure guess for me.
No, I got to double check that. I think that they are blue and orange.
Somewhat of an answer for you, BT, about the quarterback class for 2019.
Hit me.
This is just one mock of next year because obviously they do mocks for years that people don't even know if guys are coming out.
And just as a point of reference, last year at this time, Sam Darnold was the absolute lock to go first.
This is just the quarterback, BT. Drew Locke, who's from Missouri. Don't know a ton about him, but he's got a cannon of an arm.
They're terrible. The team's terrible, but I got to see him play more.
But Drew Locke is number one. They're listing. Number two, Clayton Thorson, Northwestern. Know nothing about this kid.
Don't know a ton.
Even though he's big, 6'4", 225, a pretty good athlete. And then third, they have Shea Patterson.
Do they really? The transfer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which tells you a lot. So obviously his career at Ole Miss was kind of whatever, shambles-ish. Mm-hmm. And now he's not even played a season under Jim Harbaugh, and he's listed as this high prospect because of where he is. The other guy you would recognize, obviously we all recognize, Jacob Eason from Washington.
Better
big
recognize.
Kid, strapping guy.
Okay.
And then Stidham. So it's just not a
deep
class.
Just because we don't know the names or everything
Stidham,
about them doesn't mean.
You know Stidham. And he's
but it doesn't mean that.
Jacob Eason, you know.
But how many times are we wrong is what I'm saying. I mean, we attach ourselves to a player. This guy's going to be a stud. And then you get the exact opposite. It's a good job bringing those names
we
up.
We could have and by the way, six on this list?
Yep.
And DeAndre Francois.
Wow.
Exactly.
He's had all sorts of issues. Exactly. Injury and off the field. He's number six?
That's exactly it. That's
a telling one.
Not a great quarterback class next year.
Okay, so you'd be like Rudolph this year, in essence. And Rudolph, actually, a lot of people like him, including us. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save a little money, switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So much happening. Tiki and I get back and we'll do football at the 40s. Axe update, a lot of afternoon baseball, a couple of the finals. Here's the Act Man, Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, starting to wrap it up on a awesome Wednesday. Great show. Derwin James was great. Just hop on our website, TikiandTierney.com, Apple iTunes, all the podcast outlets. It's all there. It's free. It was money. We had, obviously, a bunch of quarterbacks this week, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, everything there for you. Get you set up for the draft. But before we do a few things to get you going, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, this one's directed at me, specifically based on my prediction for Mr. Westbrook here.
Called you the wrong name. Should be Sharp Tierney.
That's
but
true.
That's okay.
A little hashtag Sharp before the at Brandon Tierney Twitter handle. I agree with that, Teague. Jeff Perini or Jeff Perrine at J_Perrine says, all right, what's the stat line for Westbrook tonight at home in an elimination game? I said he's going to get 50.
Triple-double?
I'm going to go a little short on that with the dimes because he's going to shoot a lot. I'm going to go 51 points. I'm going to go 13 rebounds. I'm going to go 7 assists, 5 turnovers. Then he's going to shoot over 50%.
And they win by
about 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Tight game, 4-quarter game. Going to be fun, but he will be awesome tonight. Yes, then they'll lose the next game.
I think they lose tonight.
Okay.
We'll see.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. Football at the 40s coming up, and also an update to the Matt Harvey stuff. But we got a lot happening here, Teak. What you got?
We do. We got my good buddy here, Ron Berkowitz, who's the president, CEO of Burke Communications. But also, I saw you walking out of jail, Burke, with Meek Mill last night. I mean, this is pretty intense. It happened pretty quickly. It's been a story all over sports because he went to the 76ers closeout game last night. What was the day like yesterday for Meek and crew?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. I mean, the day was literally pure insanity. You know, we happened to be in Philly yesterday for the game with Michael Rubin, co-owner of the Sixers, is also, you know, really spearheading this Meek Mill campaign. And Kevin Hart and Michael went to visit Meek about 2 o'clock. We went back to the Fanatics office in Conshohocken. By the time we got back there, we got a phone call from Desiree Perez at Roc Nation that bail was issued and Meek was coming out. And, you know, Michael Rubin got on this helicopter, flew over there, got him. It was crazy. The plan wasn't to take him over to the game in a helicopter, but we couldn't get him out any other way. There were so many people that came out to the prison to support Meek and to see Meek. We got him over to the game real quick, got him changed, got him showered, shaved, and in B jersey, rang the bell to open the game. And
Burke, what was the reaction? What was, because obviously he's been a figure, like a major figure for a cause in Philadelphia. What was the reaction of the crowd? Because I'm sure people knew, maybe didn't know. What was the reaction like?
You know, I don't know if people knew he was at the game. There were rumors he was going on his way to the game, that kind of stuff. Some people maybe saw him when he walked on the court. The announcer, the PA announcer, did not even get the word out, welcome home, and the place went bananas.
Yeah.
And he you know, got onto center court, rang the bell. Look, you guys, myself included, we're very lucky in what we do, and we get to be at these great events like at Super Bowl or NCAA tournament or the World Series or crazy, you know, just great games. We're very lucky that we get to do that. Mm-hmm. This was on a completely different level. So emotionally draining for everyone that's been involved and been doing this for the last few months to help Meek. But just to see him and see him reunited with his son and to sit and watch the team that he loves was, you know, in a clincher was just incredible. Went with him in the locker room after the game, listened to the post game celebration and watch him celebrate with the guys. It was really just a magical night. It really was.
Didn't they come out to I'm a Boss? Didn't they come out to a song?
Yeah, I believe they did. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's incredible,
Brandon. It was just one of those moments. You say to yourself, like, you're standing here and watching, and I'm sitting there. We're in the Villanova locker room. This is where he's changed. There's an alternate. I think it's an NFL.
I know it.
And Villanova locker room. And yeah. He's in there by himself, a couple people, me included. And he's, you know, he's getting cleaned up. He's getting shaved. He walked in his jail clothes.
Wow.
You know, and we just we're watching this happen. And it's, you know, I say something to him, and he's like, I'm just in a daze. I don't even understand what's happening right now. And I'm thinking the same thing. I have no idea what's going on. You were in jail an hour ago. You're going to ring the bell in an hour, you know, in a half an hour. And you're finally, you know, halfway free because he's still on bail. There's still a lot of, a lot of ways to go here for him. But this was a big step. And it was just to watch. And by the way, the Villanova team was being honored last night. They came into the locker room. He sat with them for a couple minutes.
And wow. Pictures
and. And so, you know, talk
to Dr. J there.
I know.
Andrew really, Tony.
Right. It was really it
Mike
was
Schmidt.
Really it was really it
Steve
really
Carlton. Was,
World Be Free. One of the best dressers, by the way. His suits are legendary.
Oh yeah, no doubt. The '70s. He had the flavor going on.
Yeah.
Burke, you know what's funny? And we've all been to these arenas, as you said before. I don't think a lot of people fully realize just how cavernous that arena is. It's mm-hmm. one of three NBA arenas with over 20,000 seats. Now, when they're bad, it's depressing. When they're good, as they are now, the vibe is kind of off the hook. That place is popping right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know what the number is. It's something ridiculous. But in this calendar year, since January 1st, I think they've lost in the building twice, including, you know, once in the playoffs. But the place is. And look, we love them or hate them, right? Philly fans, everyone has their different opinion, but they are super passionate. They are incredibly loud. That building last night was as loud as I've ever heard. I've been in there for a lot of big games. It was really incredible. And you're sitting there and watching, you know, you're sitting there watching Meek Mill sitting next to Kevin Hart and Michael Rubin and the governor and Jeffrey Lurie and LaShawn McCoy, and you're just thinking to yourself, like, this is really happening.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that, you know, and I was talking to Meek this morning, and he said something like, he didn't even sleep all night. And he said something like, I laid in bed for a few minutes. I closed my eyes. I was afraid to open them because I didn't want to wake up back in that cell. I thought it was a dream. Like,
wow.
that's how quick and crazy, you know, this thing was. It was amazing. And, you know, I think it gave the Sixers a nice jolt, and they won the game. And, you know, I think hopefully Meek will be out there with them, you know, every game for the rest of the
Bring
the
bell.
The
yep,
here.
Bring the bell. Now it's on to the next round. Ron, I appreciate it. We got to bounce because we're going to do our football at the 40s here. But thanks for giving us a perspective. And, by the way, I could have gone to the game last night. I chose.
I know. He had his Philadelphia shirt on, Ron.
I had my Philly shirt on yesterday.
I offered. I wanted you to be there.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Be good.
Thanks,
Take care, brother.
Appreciate it, man. I think I may have missed. I said one of three NBA venues. It's five. Mm. It's still a small.
25 aren't. So
that's true. You got 20,328 in Philly. You got DC, the Wizards, the new Pistons venue, just like the old one at the at the Palace. They have over 20,000. Same with the Q for the Cavs, and the Bulls United Center is the biggest at just below 21,000.
Nice.
That's a lot for NBA.
It is.
You know what? Probably let's scrap football at the 40s because there's nothing we didn't really hit that we didn't.
Agreed. And the only thing that was interesting on here. Really was the Jerry Jones no return for Dez, because Dez, the Dez Bryant situation is obviously, it's odd for the Cowboys. Dez had, we briefly hit this, one real place that wanted him, and that was the Baltimore Ravens. He said he didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
Now he's going to wait till after the draft to see who doesn't get a wide receiver. But Jerry Jones was asked about whether or not he would welcome him back, and Jerry Jones, no.
I think a nice, crisp time to call it a day is the way to do this. And I thought it was the case, really, as far as when we discussed his future with the Cowboys. I think we need to keep this real crisp and the lines real bright. And we need to move on knowing that we don't have this.
Wow.
Man.
Cold-blooded.
That is getting told by a Texan. We don't need you. Get out.
That is cold blooded, right there.
But it sounds like soft. It sounds soothing.
It does. But when you listen to the words,
it's biting.
That is very, very biting.
Nothing left for interpretation there. So I just saw this on Twitter. I got to circle back to this because it was in our inbounds, out of bounds about Matt Harvey, right?
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, lost a spot, demoted. He's pitched horribly. ERA basically is trending towards six. We all know. Went to the bullpen.
Yep. Refused to be interviewed.
Wasn't thrilled. Gave up a couple of doubles last night. Gave up in a tie game. Gave up a run as well. And he didn't speak, as Teek just said. Now, he went back to the ballpark today, as you would imagine, and he was approached by New York media, who just couldn't wait to get their teeth into this story again. I'll blame them. And I'm reading this from one of the Met beat writers on Twitter. Let's see. Matt Harvey laughed audibly when he was approached by reporters today seeking comment about his bullpen debut. No chance. Zero chance, said Harvey. Harvey was then asked why. He said, I have nothing to say to you guys. Quote, he was asked why not. I don't bleep and want to. Walked away.
Mm.
Now, your position was that it was okay.
Yeah.
My
It was okay.
I'm not, of course.
It was
last
okay
night,
last night.
Which I still disagreed with.
Yeah.
But now you hear this.
Yeah.
Be a pro, Matt.
He's not.
Be a pro.
I don't know if this is part of MLB contracts, like it's part of NFL contracts.
No.
Literally in
not
your
like
contract
that.
In the NFL, it
it's
says
different.
You have to talk to
I
the
know.
Media.
That's
and,
different.
And you shouldn't or disagree. You can be disrespectful, but whatever. It encourage you not to be disrespectful.
It's a bad look.
I gotta tell you, not only is it a bad look, but it's a bad tree to be barking up. I'm telling you, New York media can be relentless. Now they're already not on his side. It's not that they're picking a side here, but they're kind of not on his side. Really, and it has more to do with production than it does to do with his attitude. But this is only going to exacerbate it.
I agree.
It's going to make it significantly worse. And any benefit of the doubt from moving into a new realm of his career, he will not be given at all.
No, he's not going to be on the Mets next year. It's just a matter of do they cut the cord now and just get rid of him now and trade him at 35 cents or 33 cents on the dollar?
Would you not?
You believe it or not, I wouldn't. Not yet, because, you know, I don't like what I saw from Wheeler. You know, I'm not necessarily sold on him yet. I mean,
but you don't think he makes his way back into the starting rotation
with the
Mets?
Yes, I think he could. I do. You got to remember, one thing about all these Mets starters, they're very rarely healthy at the same time together. I mean, Syndergaard was hurt last year. DeGrom's sturdy. They usually don't have any problems with DeGrom, but everybody else
That's
is.
A good point.
Mats has been banged up, not this year, but he's been banged up. So they have strength in numbers. Not that he's an asset right now based on how he's pitching, yeah. But you're not going to get anything for him to trade anyway. You're just not. So you may as well try to fix him with Mickey Callaway, who fixed a few Indians.
True.
That's his calling card. He fixes pitchers.
This is back to your point. This is would be addition by subtraction, maybe? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Additional attrition.
Oh, addition. The addition by subtraction.
Yeah,
subtraction.
Exactly. All right, who do you got tonight?
Well, hold on. I
got
to read this first of all. The NFL draft is almost here. Nobody covers it better than the NFL Network, although we do a pretty good job as well, I like to think. I got to insert that every time.
Of course.
Go behind the scenes into all 32 war rooms. The stars of tomorrow selected. The 2018 draft, April 26th, tomorrow, finally, on the NFL Network and on Fox. All right, go hit me. What do you got?
By the way, watch the Topps NFL draft coverage tonight.
Tonight, after Sports this Network. Show. I appreciate that. So from 6 to 7, my boy Shine is on. Mm-hmm. Time to Shine. I think maybe Inside College. I'm not sure what's on after that from 7 to 8. We are 3 hours live, primetime. Topps, can't wait.
Going Toronto.
Okay.
To take a 3-2 lead.
I agree with that.
Indiana. To take a 3-2 lead.
Nah, Cavaliers going to win tonight.
Oklahoma City to lose and be closed out by Utah.
No.
And Houston to close out there.
Yes.
So we agree. 2-2. We agree with the first two.
We agree with the first two.
Or the first and the last, I should
Cavaliers
say.
Are going to win. I'd be stunned, and we'd have to find a nice, and we will, a nice chunky segment to squeeze in with all the NFL stuff tomorrow if LeBron loses at home. Mm-hmm. Pivotal game 5. Boy, oh boy. All right, Teak, everybody, tomorrow's the big day. Draft, enjoy it. Do your reading. Check us out on CBSSports.com. TeakyandTierney.com. Shine is next. We will see you tomorrow. Peace. Gotta go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.